The reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, and it's on page 901. I am the way and the truth and the life. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and also believe in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, would I come again and will take you to myself so that you can be there also? And you know the way to where I'm going, Thomas said to him. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and that is enough for us. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you this long and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say to me, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does this work. Believe me that I am in the Father and he is in me, or else believe on account of the work itself. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do, and even greater work than this will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Thanks be to God for this holy word.
Let's share in our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know where you go to get your news, maybe the TV news programmes or the radio. We often get ours from the BBC website or other news outlets. One of my favourite ways, though I don't do it very often, is by reading the paper. I don't know if many of you buy a paper each day, some of you. And of course we hear that circulation is going down because less and less of us are buying newspapers, and we're well served in Britain for newspapers, and there are some to cover every view and geographical area. Of course there are some that are total rubbish, but that might just be a matter of opinion. And Britain's local papers especially are well known for their quirky headlines, like these for example. And then, of course, the Nationals. This might be the most memorable of all the national newspaper headlines, but I don't know if anyone remembers that even. Yes, I thought you would. but sometimes, of course, we remember the headline better than the story that it's all about. And this morning, we're looking at ministry as answering questions. And if we were only to remember one headline from today, it would be this: point to Jesus. We're going to think about how we minister to each other by answering questions, and how we minister to people who aren't yet Christians by answering their question. And the answer, or the headline for both, is point to Jesus. Now, this would be a very short sermon indeed if we were to ask and answer the question only in the first few sentences, so I'm afraid we're not doing that. We're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about what this means in our everyday lives. Now, you will all be familiar with the word Google, which is the world's most popular search engine, although it's them that says that, so who knows? I'm sure it's true, though. It was actually voted the world's most useful word a few years ago, and like many of you, I'm sure I use it almost every day. And people turn to Google for information and advice on all sorts of things, from finding out when the supermarket opens, to working out why their PlayStation doesn't work. That was one of ours, and Google did serve us well that day. But people also ask very strange questions of Google, like these ones here. These are actually genuine questions that people have put into Google and asked. I don't let look at that first one on the left, but of course, asking and answering questions is how we learn and teach. A look through the Gospels will show us that Jesus spent a lot of his time being asked and answering questions. Some very conscientious person has gone through all the four Gospels and determined that Jesus was asked 126 questions of various types from various people. Some were from his disciples looking to gain understanding about something he'd said. Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? As many as seven times. Or when they were worried, Lord, don't you care that we are about to drown? Lots were from people asking him to help and heal them, like the centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant. And there were questions from the religious leaders. Tell us by what authority you do these things and who gave you this authority. And I'm sure you can think of lots of other examples and other categories, but that little selection shows us the variety of questions that Jesus was asked. Now, 126 questions does seem a lot, but anyone who's spent time with a small child will know that you can get at least that many in 1 hour on why dogs have tails and we don't. And that, if we divide that between Jesus' three-year ministry, it's only 42 questions. At least I think that is. My math is always a little bit dodgy. But we want to remember, of course, as we're thinking about it only being 42 questions a year, that most important verse in John's Gospel, the last verse, in chapter 21, verses 25. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The Gospel writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down some of the things Jesus said and did, but by no means all of them. So we can know that Jesus was asked and answered many other questions. But before we go any further, let's look at our passage and think about how Jesus answered questions. We have two questions answered by Jesus in the passage we had read this morning. The first is from Thomas in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And the second question is from Philip in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. Now, Philip's remark does not seem like a question at first reading, but it's definitely a request for Jesus to show him something he did not think he could see for himself. The context of this passage, as you may know, is the Lord's Supper. Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room and have eaten their meal together. Jesus has washed their feet and told them that one of them will betray him, and Judas then left, and that one of them would deny knowing him before the night was out. Now, that must have been a shocking and bewildering time for the disciples. So the next thing Jesus does is comfort them. In fact, the title of our passage in the NIV translation is Jesus Comforts His Disciples. And both of the questions asked of Jesus reveal the disciples' continuing ignorance of what was going to happen to Jesus, despite him telling them on many occasions. They've not been paying attention, and we can see that in the response of Jesus to Philip in verses 9 and 10. Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? As can sometimes happen, Jesus was trying to explain a big truth to them, but they fixated on small details and missed out on understanding the main message. Now, we're very thankful that in the 16 years of running the Impact Youth Club here at church, we've never had a serious injury, but we do from time to time get bumps and scrapes. And once we've sorted them out, and Sheena and Alison are very good at that, not me, I usually ring the parents and let them know what's happened. Now, most are fine and listen while I explain what happened, but occasionally a parent will hear that their son or daughter has hurt themselves and goes into a panic mode, and it can be hard to get through to them that their child is really fine. They only hear one part of what's been said and miss the whole story. Thankfully, they usually calm down, and it's very rare the young person wants to go home or even speak to their parent on the phone. And this is kind of what James and Philip have done, and Jesus continues to explain so they will understand. This passage has told us something about the disciples, but also tells us something about Jesus. Often he was addressed as rabbi or teacher, and he fulfilled that role perfectly. When people were around him, he taught and listened and answered questions, as much from his closest followers, as we've seen, as from the people in the towns that he was in, or from the religious leaders who were trying to find fault with him. But I think we can see that he welcomed questions and the conversations that would follow them. He sat on hillsides and taught and shared. He talked and listened to his followers as they walked the roads. He opened his arms to children and noticed and loved the people who had been rejected by their society. Jesus' example is one of openness, love, and acceptance. And we see that right through the Gospels in his interactions with people. So let's move on to think then about answering questions from people who don't know Jesus and also answering each other's questions. And we begin by looking at how we can answer questions from people who don't know Jesus. The Ravi Zacharias International Ministries is an apologetics organization whose purpose is to equip Christians to answer difficult questions that people might ask of them. Apologetics, as you may know, means reasoned arguments or writings in justification of something, and in this case, of the Christian faith. The RZIM Foundation, as it's called, runs events around the world for young people called Reboot, which is an apologetics conference for young people, and there was one just yesterday in Belfast, and there's been two in Edinburgh in the last couple of years, which are run in partnership with SU Scotland. This event brings great speakers from all over the world to ask and answer questions that young people are asking about how to defend their faith. They don't shy away from difficult subjects, and hundreds of young people, including many from our church, have benefited from these events. One of the things they do is to point the young people towards resources, especially websites, podcasts, YouTube channels, but also books that will help. Now, of course, when seeking to answer questions about our faith, the first place to go is always to God's Word. And the more we read it and get to know it, the better we will be able to speak to people, and the more we will be able to point people to Jesus. But there are lots of books and podcasts and blogs available that will help when answering difficult questions. One of the reasons Reboot was started was that young people did not feel like they were equipped to be able to answer difficult questions that people might ask them. And if that's true about young people, it's true about everyone. Fear of not knowing the answer or of making it worse by giving what we think might be the wrong answer can hold us back from talking to people about Jesus. And that's a legitimate fear. But if we want to do something we've never done before, then we'll begin by finding out about it. When I worked at Teen Ranch, I decided to try to learn to play the mouth organ. Don't ask me why. I must have had too much time on my hands or something. But I bought one that came with a small instruction book and tried to learn. And after probably quite a little while, I thought I really had mastered what the book had taught. And I found out about a guy in Dundee who gave lessons, believe it or not, people do that. So I went along to see him to see if he could make me even better than I thought I already was. The whole thing lasted for about 5 minutes. He listened to me and then told me I had no aptitude for it and he didn't think he could teach me at all, though he did still charge me. I'd like to tell you that I rose above his negative comments, and if this was a film, that probably would have been what happened, and became a fantastic mouth organ player, but alas, I did not. And it's now sitting in a drawer or in the attic somewhere, neglected along with my ambitions to learn to play a musical instrument. However, despite my failed attempt, my method was correct. I tried out a few different things, and the same can apply to us when it comes to learning to answer difficult questions, except don't give up like I did with the mouth organ. We might turn to our friend Google, or go to the library or join a club. And as we've said, there are lots of resources out there to help us. Now, apologetics is a subject that interests me, so I've collected quite a few books and other resources over the years, so I'd be happy to share and recommend them with anyone if this has piqued your interest. And I've chosen to talk about this method of learning to answer questions, but there are lots of others that we'd not have time to go into this morning. But I think it starts with realizing that we aren't always equipped to answer them, but there is something we can do about it. Sharing our faith or mission or pointing to Jesus is a key part of our strategy, and as you remember from last week, is a corner of our 3M church. Go and tell, come and see, care and share. And as we've shared together many times, this mostly comes down to just having conversations with people, something that we do quite naturally. And the more we prepare ourselves, the more confidence we can have when these conversations turn to matters of faith. We're going to finish this morning by thinking a bit about how we can answer each other's questions. And as we look at it, I hope you'll begin to see that you're probably already doing it, and that's not as difficult as you might think. The disciples in our passage were at least honest. They didn't know or hadn't been paying attention to Jesus when they should have, but they asked their questions knowing that Jesus would have the answer. When we talk to each other about our walk with God, we're sharing with each other much as Jesus did with the disciples, except Jesus will be using us to encourage and to answer questions. We might not bring any new teaching that no one has thought of before. In fact, we almost certainly won't. We might not be saying anything other than what the person we're talking to already knows. We might not be saying anything that God could not impress upon the other person's heart in a way that they could not doubt where it was come from. But it would seem that God wants to use us to build each other up, to teach each other, and to answer each other's questions. And we're not restricted to one setting. The Sunday morning service is not the only place where we get our questions answered, and the person standing here is not the only one who can answer questions. Social situations, having coffee later, meeting on the street. How many times have you gone to Tesco up the road and met someone from church? If we see all of these as times and places where we can ask and answer each other's questions, we'll start to build each other up, and more importantly, we will see God working through us to be ministers to each other, which you will remember from last week is what God has called us to be. But formal or organized settings are just as important. We've already mentioned the morning service, but small groups play a vital role. Now, have you ever tried to persuade someone to do something by saying, if you just try it once, I know you'll love it? This is the argument used at Teen Ranch thousands of times to persuade young people to try horse riding. And if you can get them out on one trail ride, it usually works. And this is the argument that we used on Ben McBurney to get him to try horse riding at Teen Ranch, which he now really loves. And I would like to use it on you this morning to encourage you to try a small group if you aren't already doing so. Because I think if you do, you will end out loving it. Go along once, experience the fellowship, the atmosphere of learning and sharing and cake, and I'm sure you will go along again and again. Similarly, groups like the prayer course, which is going on at the moment, the Alpha course when it comes back, the Talking Jesus course and the Grace course all coming up this year are wonderful opportunities to ask our questions, to learn to help answer each other's questions and give us the confidence to do so in every area of our lives. As with answering questions of people who don't know Jesus, there's so much more we could say about how we can answer each other's questions. But I pray that as we see the people around us here and the people God has put in our lives at work, at school, in clubs, social groups, or even the person we're sitting next to on the bus, that we will see ourselves as people God can use as ministers of his words of love and encouragement. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example we have in you from your word of listening to and answering questions. We pray that we will learn and grow in our knowledge of you so that we can minister to others and share with them, answer questions and point them to you. Lord, we want to see more people turn to you and trust you, and we ask that you will give us all we need to play the part you have for us in your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.